You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't hesitate because I am a thief. Cause every good and perfect gift comes from the Father who I...
All right. All right. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Welcome to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This is Friday Night Joy. Amen. Amen. I am your host, Reverend Ray. We're going to get started in a few minutes. I want to welcome you to the broadcast, those that are signing in, listening in. Amen. I do have a word for you today. Amen. On this second Friday of September. Amen. It's called the Refiner's Fire, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it, how I came up with this. Amen. But first, let's go ahead and open up in prayer, and then we go from there. Father God, we want to thank you for today. For today is a new day, a brand new day that you've given us above ground. God, we are thankful, God, for everything that has taken place, those things that was for our favor, and those things that made us not too well. We thank you in advance, Lord Jesus, for your mercy and your grace, God. We pray that right now that somebody, whoever's listening to the broadcast today, will be blessed, Lord Jesus. We pray that if they need healing, the healing will take place in their life. Whatever desires of the heart that you will come and see about them. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that we will be obedient to your will and they will press forward. And that we will stand, and after we've done all we can, continue to stand in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I want to welcome you to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This is Friday Night Joy. I'm Reverend Ray. Amen. We do this every Friday at 7 p.m. Real quick, I want to remind you a minute. That His Sovereign Grace, Minister Vanessa Williams, is every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Declaring to Finish Work with Reverend Pat Randall is Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy, of course, to me, is every Friday at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life, amen, with Reverend Ray, is Sundays at 7 p.m., but it's the first and the fourth Sunday of the month. Okay. Chapter Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Monthly broadcasts are as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and Beautiful, Reverend Novena Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. In fact, there should be a broadcast on tomorrow. Okay. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McEwen is every third Monday of the month. Amen. At 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover, the Body of One with Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson is every third Sunday at 7 p.m. In fact, they have a broadcast coming up this Sunday. R3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with myself, Alison Green, Cleophas Malone, Tyrone Rose, Antonia Mitchell is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. Our weekly prayer is done by Reverend Gwen Dixon, called Midday Glory Prayer. It's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. This is a free conference call. The number is 712-770-5506. The access code is 732-499. Amen. So basically, when I came up with this title, someone had shared on Facebook an article about this woman. Let me just read it, and it really touched my heart. And it's probably a very old piece of writing. And of course, I shared it with family, and I began to reflect on it myself. And I really wanted to talk about it tonight, but I didn't feel like I was really ready to really get into details of it. But let me just go ahead and read it, and then we'll talk about it, and we'll come up with some of the scriptures that I came up with. Amen. It says, let's see. Okay. It says, there was once a group of women studying the book of Malachi in their Old Testament, in the Old Testament, and they were studying chapter 3. They came across verse 3, which says, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. This verse puzzled the women, and they wondered what the statement meant. Amen. They wonder what the statement meant about the character and the nature of God. One of the women offered to find out about the process of refining silver and get back to the group at the next Bible study. That week, this woman called up a silversmith and made an appointment to watch him at work. She didn't mention anything about the reason for her interest beyond her curiosity about the process of refining silver. As she watched the silversmith, he held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. He explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flames were the hottest as to burn away all the impurities. The woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot. Then she thought about again about the verse that he sits as a refiner and purifier of silver. She asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time the silver was being refined. The man answered yes and explained that he not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eye on the silver the entire time it was in the fire. If the silver was left even a moment too long in the flames, it would be damaged. The woman was silent for a moment. Then she asked the silversmith, how do you know when the silver is fully refined? He smiled at her and answered, oh, that's easy. When I see my image in it. If today you are feeling the heat of this world's fire, just remember that God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ are refining you. You are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. And this is unknown. I don't know who wrote it. Okay? But you are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. Now, I want to read this other part one more time. The woman was silent for a moment. Then she asked the silversmith, how do you know when the silver is fully refined? He smiled at her and answered, oh, that's easy. When I see my image in it, no matter what we're facing in life, no matter what we're going through, no matter what disease or sickness or what kind of hurt, you know, and stuff, all we got to do is to continue to hold on to God. You know, because God is refining you, just like he do with silver, so that he will see his image. That he will see his image, man. I'm telling you, when I read that, y'all, it blew me away. You know, it blew me away in so many other areas and stuff like that. Now, I hope I save what I'm looking for. Okay? Okay. All right. All right. Okay, I want to read a couple other things. This is some stuff that I found online, and I thought it was very interesting. And this was a question that was asked about what is the significance of the refiner's fire, okay? And basically, I don't have the person name that wrote this, but this is coming out of a website called Got Questions. And it said references to Malachi. Chapter 3, verse 2. In fact, before I read that, let me read Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, 1 through 6, I think I got. Amen. It says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom he seeks shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, which he delight in behold. He shall come, said the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? Who should stand where he appeared? For he is like a refiner's fire and full of soap. And he should sit as a refiner. Give me 1 second, everybody. I want to do something real quick because I think I seem to be having some audio problems. I want to make sure I'm covering this. Amen. There we go. Amen. Amen. Let me read verse 2 again. It says, Malachi chapter 3, verse 2, it says, but who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like full of soap. and he shall set as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. That then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. He said, I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be swift against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against the false swearers, against those who oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, that turn aside the strangers from his right, and fear not, said the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. He said, we are not going to be consumed, man. He said, fear not. Now, let me read this article. I want to go back to it because the reference verses, Malachi chapter 3 and 2. It says, Malachi chapter 3 and 2, where the phrase refined and fired is used, has been a popular verse in Western society for centuries due to its use in Handel's famous Oratio, Messiah. The verse reads, but who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he would be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. Let's take a look at the prophet Similes. It says, Malachi says that when the Lord returns, no one will be able to stand before him. The Lord of holiness and judgment will be a refiner's blazing fire as a and a fuller's bleaching agent. The idea of standing before the Lord is associated with standing or standing up to. Sinful human flesh will not have the strength or the right to desire to resist the Lord and his glory. Amen. It says that, let me read a little bit further. Okay. It talks about the refiner's fire basically being how hot it has to be, amen, to be able to be refined silver, you know, or the whole idea of refining silver or any kind of metal is to get the dross, that's to get the stuff that's not good, the stuff that causes the impurities. So that's the whole purpose of it, amen. It says the refiner's fire and launderer's soap indicate the holiness and burning judgment of the Messiah when he returns to Jerusalem in his second coming. Okay, there's a refining that's going on with us. Now, why? Because the Bible talks about when he comes back, when Jesus comes back, you know, he's coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. Well, how would that take place? You know, he's coming back for a church. Well, the only way that would take place is through the refiner's fire and through the Holy Spirit burning up stuff within the body of Christ, burning up stuff that's done and moving the gloss. How will he come back? How will he recognize us? Well, he's going to see the reflection of himself. You have to hear me say that when he looked down and he come in down back with a shout, he will see himself. You know, he will see himself. He will see himself in us. That's the purpose of the refiner's fire. You know, that's why the Bible said that the righteous will scarcely make it, and then I paraphrase it, in the last days and stuff, that he has to come back because the righteous, I mean, the people will be giving up and all this kind of stuff, but the elect will not. But they before they get to brag about it, they scarcely be able to make it in, okay? Not giving. So he's coming back before it. Completely consumed. Okay, he's coming back before that fire completely consumed. But when you, but for right now, what we're going through, a lot of those things that we face, it's like the pruning of a tree. I think in the Bible it talks about that there was a tree that had to be pruned, and he had to dig around it. But it's the same thing, you know, to make it, to cause it to grow, and he had to cut away the dead things around from off of it. But it's the same thing. There's a pruning that needs to take place in us, and a lot of times trials and tribulation is not meant because God is angry at us or because we sin but because there's a pruning process, or because there's a refining that's going on within us, so that we've been able to use that as a testimony, so that people will look at not at us, but look and saw what God did, and how He spared your life, and how He brought you through, how He took you from off of drugs, how He took you from off the streets, how you were homeless and everything, and God began to provide a way for you out of no way. When everything else was going crazy in your life, but you stood the step, you stood through the test of time, you stood in the furnace and was able to not be consumed. He was able to not be consumed. You know, you were like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and everything in the furnace and everything, but it was not consumed. Not even that, nothing on their, that hair wasn't burnt. They didn't even smell like they was in the fire. But they still had to go through the process, y'all. Sometimes in our life, we still have to go through the process of go through some trials and tribulation and everything like that. And not that God is trying to tempt you, but he's processing you. He's refining you, you know. He's taking away dead things out of your life. And it's necessary for those things to take place in our life. It's necessary as a testament of Jesus Christ. It's necessary for us to endure. That's what the Bible says, endure hardship as a good soldier. Don't complain about it, but believe and trust God that He's going to bring you through. You know, believe and trust God that the outcome is going to be in your favor, that expected end will be in your favor. Amen. I want to see if I can go back to my notes here real quick, of course. Amen. Because I do have a couple of scriptures that I pulled up that I was looking at. Amen. And we read Malachi chapter 3. This is coming from Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9. It said, I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call upon my name, and I will hear them, and I will say it. I will say it is my people. This is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. You know, you're sometimes going through the fear reference, or sometimes being refined will cause us to call on God, or cause us to recognize who God is in our life. It will cause us to recognize the price that Jesus Christ paid for on the cross. You know, we become even more connected when we have gone through some things. You know what I'm saying? We become more connected to Him when we have gone through some trials and we have gone through some tribulation. We have value not only to God, but to each other. Because when I look at your life and you look at my life and you realize all the different things that you've been through, and so you know it was nobody but God. When I look at somebody that's gone through, or my niece in particular, I look at her and I realize it's nobody but God. Yeah, but God. Even though we cannot always see those things when we're in the furnace and when we're being burnt, but we have the thing that we got to keep in mind, that like I was telling you about the guy that was making the silver and everything, that he watched. We are being watched. His eyes are constantly on us. His eyes are constantly on us. You know, the silversmith. You know, like the silversmith was saying that he had to constantly keep his eyes on the silver, all right, to know when it was the right time, or when he can receive reflection. Because if he left it in there too long, it will burn. It won't be any good to anybody. So God knows exactly what we got to go through in the time of our deliverance and all of that. He knows exactly the point when to take us out of the flame. He knows the point that when we realize to God, I serve you, I will serve you till I die, I will worship you, I bow down before you, I lay prostrate. He knows the exact time, y'all. You know, He knows the exact time. The exact time. Amen. Zechariah 13:9 said, I will bring the third part through the fire and refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name. He said, they shall call on my name. When you've gone through some fire and when you've been refined, you're going to call on Jesus. And I will hear, he said, not only were they calling, he said, I will hear them. He said, I will say, this is my people. And they should say, the Lord is my God. You know, in other words, he's talking about having a relationship with either God and man and God. He's talking about having an intimate relationship and a trust that passes all understanding and a faith and a belief in everything that God is with us, that God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be in the world be against us? If God be for us, you know, no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. Every tongue that's spoken against us will come to naught. Because God has for us. We've gone through the furnace. We've been refined now. You know, what you see is not the same thing that was put in, but it's better. You know, it's better. It's reflecting of the promises and the holiness of our almighty God and his son Jesus Christ. It's reflecting himself, you know, but it had to go through that process. Sometimes we have to go through it, some things. And sometimes while we're going through things, we just don't understand it. We don't understand it. Be like, don't know why. Did I do something? Let me speak for myself. I was like, did I do something wrong? What is this all about? But no, you are being refined. You are being refined, you know, for a greater work, for a higher heights in him, for deeper depths in him. All I'm saying for you, just hold on. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel and don't commit suicide of any kind, spiritual suicide or physical suicide. But hold on and trust God and know that he's got you. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Let me read that one more time. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says that the trial of your faith being much precious than the gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Well, what is the appearing of Jesus Christ? Just like the silversmith said, that when I'm able to see my reflection, I know that it's ready. Wow. You know, with the appearance of Jesus Christ, when the reflection of you sees Jesus, when the reflection is the same reflection of Jesus Christ at the appearance of God. Talk about praise, you know, that when I can see Jesus in me, or when you can see Jesus in you, and amen, that brings forth praise. That brings forth glory. That brings forth honor unto him. Because you know without a shadow of a doubt that he has kept you from the evil one. He has made you to be able to stand. He has caused you to stand. The trial of your faith. Some of us got to go through things for the trying of our faith. You know? Job had to go through it. We know the disciples had to go through it. Jesus had to go through it. We know different men about it. We got to go through it too, for the trying of our faith, you know, for the building of the kingdom. You know, how many ministries have been started because people went through complete chaos in their life, but God brought them all the way through it. Now they are a mouthpiece. Now they are a prophet. Now they're an apostle. Now they're a Sunday school teacher. Now they're walking worthy of the vocation that they have called because they know what God has done for them. They know how far that God has brought them from, you know, and they have a new pep in their stuff, they don't talk the same way, they don't walk the same way, everything is new and everything is fresh, you know, and their desire is only to please the Lord. Their desire only to please the Lord, and it's new. Can you imagine going through the fire, being purged, because there's some purging that needs to take place in all of us, especially in the household of God. There's some purging that needs to take place in all of us. Purging, and if there's a need to cut away dead things, some of us are holding on to things that God has released us from a long time ago. Dead things, things that are no good, things that don't even have any breath in it, things that things that if it came back to life in you, it would do more harm to you than good. But we won't let go because if it has become a place of comfort for us, God just wants us to be in that place. Amen. Isaiah 48 and 10 said, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of your affliction." He said, "I've chosen you in the furnace of your affliction." While you were yet going through your affliction, while you were yet going through your trials and your tribulation, God said, "I'm choosing you. I'm choosing you. I'm going to make you a living epistle among men, you know, that they might see Jesus Christ." Excuse me. Excuse me. Allergies. That they might see Jesus Christ. He said, "Behold, I have found thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." First Peter chapter 5, verse 10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he has suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Isn't it? He said, after you done suffered for a while, after you done gone through something, he make you perfect. He make you established. And remember I said before, you don't even look or talk the same. People looking at you, you look different. You know, you don't act the same way you did. You know, I'm not. I've been born with a new Christ. Amen. Job 23:10 says, "But he knoweth the way I take when he hath tried me. I shall come forth as pure gold. I shall come forth as gold." You know, when all the elements and all the other stuff that has attached to me begin to be chiseled off, they begin to be heated off, I'm going to be pure. You know, I'm going to be pure. You know, and my pureness is not because of anything I did, but because of Jesus Christ, because he's the refiner. Okay? Proverbs 17:3 said, "The finished part is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tries the heart." He's not talking about drawing you. The refining it goes after the heart. It goes after him. And everything else is manifested, you know, and everything, but it's manifested. The results are manifested through the outcome of what it looks like. See, we don't know our outcome. We don't really know our outcome, how things are going to work out this, or what are we going to do this. But God does. He does. And some of the things that he allows us to go through is because there's an outcome he has designed just for you with your name on it. There's an outcome he has designed for me with my name on it. We don't know and everything, but we have to get to a place of trusting and believing God. Trusting and believing God that he got us. Amen. Psalm 66, verse 10, it says, "For thou, O God, hast proven us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou brought us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our lions. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, but thou brought us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings, and I will pay thee my vow." He said, "That has caused men to ride over my heads. We went through the fire, we through the water, but that has brought us into a wealthy place." God desires to bring us into a wealthy place. And that wealthy place is not necessarily riches, okay? But it's the relationship, it's an intimacy and favor with him. All those other things are outcome of just being obedient and walking with him. Okay? All right? First Peter chapter 1, verse 6 says, "Wherein we ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." You know, that's the type of temptation where one thing happens right after another, then it's something else. And, you know, it's like all kinds of things are going wrong in your life all at the same time. And when you think you can catch a breath, something else takes place. Something else takes place in your life, and it knocks you down, but it don't knock you out. It don't knock you out. Some people would think that it'd be enough to take you out of this world, but yet you are still in the land of the living. Some people would think that it will just make you just get into a big old ball and just cry your hearts out and everything. But all of a sudden, there comes an emotion, there comes a feeling, there comes an expression onto you to make you get up and wipe your tears away and begin to realize and say like Job, for God I live, for God I die. You know, blessed be the Lord given, the Lord taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, something about this thing like that, because you are being refined, and even though it may hurt, and even though it may cause some tears, and even though you might lose some friends, and you might lose some loved ones, and you might have lose a job, and you might not have the finance to take care of the things you need to do, but all through that, you are being refined. You're being refined to the promises of a God that He has set aside just for you. You know, you're being refined, you know, to His expected end that He has for you, that you necessarily can't see, okay? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, so you can't see it. But all you're doing is having faith and hoping and believing that God's going to rescue you. That he's gonna help you. That He's gonna strengthen you. That He's gonna speak to you. That He's gonna allow you to stand. And after you've done all you can, to continue to stand. To continue to stand. Romans 8:28 said his best. It says, "We know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, to them that who are called according to His purpose." That all things work to good. That what you're going through, that what you're facing, all things work to the good. It might not look like it. It may not feel like it. You might be walking around with a brick in the heart, a broken heart, and everything. You know, yeah, all the things. But it's working for your good. It's not the end. There is more for you to come. The task for you is just to hold on and believe Him and trust Him. Amen. Allergies kicking in, man, I tell you. Okay, Psalms 66:10 says, "But thou, O God, hast proven us, and thou hast tried us as silver." Amen. Thou hast tried us as silver. Okay. Amen. Let me read this. It's coming out of Matthew 3:10-11. It says, "Now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." He said, "I indeed baptize you with water." This is Jesus speaking. "Water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier." I'm sorry, this is John the Baptist. "He that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear." He said, "Baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." That's the word. With the Holy Ghost and with fire. You know, consuming, okay? Being refined, you know, bringing everything back to remembrance, you know, giving us the ability, the power, the authority through the power of Jesus Christ to heal the sick, to bring sight to the mind, and to go under the hedges and hairway, compare men and women to come to Him, to speak boldly. Before in front of kings and Jordan. That's through the Holy Spirit, y'all. Amen. That's through the Holy Spirit. This one. Amen. Okay, let me read. Amen. Amen. That's all I got. Remember that when you're going through, your loved ones are going through, okay? I want to read the story one more time, and I'm going to close there, okay? There were once a group of women studying the book of Malachi in the Old Testament, and as they were studying chapter 3, they came across verse 3, which says, "He was set as a refiner and purifier of silver." This verse puzzled the women, and they wondered what the statement meant about the character and the nature of God. One of the women offered to find out about the process of refining silver and get back to the group at the next Bible study. That week, this woman called up the silversmith and made an appointment to watch him at work. She mentioned anything about the reason for her interest beyond her curiosity and about the process of refining silver. As she watched the silversmith, he held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. He explained that in refining silver, 1 needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire. with the flames for the harlots as to burn away all the impurities. The woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot that she thought again about the verse that he sits as a refiner and purifier of the silver. She asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time the silver was being refined. The man answered yes, and explained that he not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time. It was in the entire time it was in the fire. If the silver was left even a moment too long in the flame, it would be damaged. The woman was silent for a moment. Then she asked the silversmith, how do you know when the silver is fully refined? He smiled at her and answered, oh, that's easy. When I see my image in it. And today, again, if you're feeling the heat of this world's fire, just remember that God, the Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, are refining you. You are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. So hold on. Hold on. Believe and know that you are loved by God. Believe and know that you are loved by God, that you are not alone. You know, you are not alone, that He got you. Get around some Bible-believing saints of God that full of prayer and full of worship, and allow them to encourage each other. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to encourage each other, you know, and to remind us of each other of the covenant and the promises that God has for each and every last one of us. Amen. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this word. For your refiner's fire. We pray that you continue to keep us in the fire, God, that we might come out perfect the way that you have designed us for, that we might come be like the clay in the potter's hand, God. You know the purpose that you have for us, Lord Jesus, and we want to be worthy of that purpose. We want to be willing to do whatever is necessary. Jesus, we thank you in advance for all that you're doing in our life, God. We thank you for every stumbling block, God. We thank you for every victory. We thank you for every laughter, every joy that comes our way in this purpose of life, God. We pray, God, that we will become more and more and more like you, Jesus. That we will begin to reflect like you, Jesus, your image, your face, Lord Jesus. To the point, God, that everywhere we walk, when those that look at us, they don't see us as individuals, but they see you as a Lord and a Savior. They see you, Jesus, that we'll be able to bring them to you, and they will cry out, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to change my life around? We need you today. We can't do it by ourselves. Every time we try, we mess it up. So, God, today we submit all of our ways unto you and pray that you will have your way. Show us your most excellent way, that we might do your will. May I be obedient to the calling that you have placed in our life, that we might seek after you even more so than ever, even as the world in itself goes dimmer, full of hate, full of anger, full of sin, God, that we would get even closer to you, that we will be that salt, light, and power that is needed in the world to bring those that you have chosen, those you have called for such a time as this, into relationship with you, Lord Jesus. We pray, God, today for every church under the sound of my voice, God, that they will begin, Lord Jesus, to realize the time and the season that we're living in, that they will begin to seek more and more after you, that they will begin, God, to know, Lord Jesus, you are so soon to come back. Help us, God, to stand in the promises of you, even now so, and believe in the trust in you. We do pray this prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Amen. Again, I want to thank you for listening. Please feel free to share the broadcast. Don't forget, you can love it. You can listen to us on When Christmas Beat Talk Radio through different platforms. Amen. We would love to hear from you. Amen. God bless you, Lord. I love you. I do want to share something with you. Okay, my niece, Tina Ibram, is in the hospital. She's been there for over 2 months. Amen. And they're doing a donation through PayPal and through Cash App, and we also accept a donation form on WhenChristmasBeat.com. If you click on the donate button. Amen. But she also has a GoFundMe page. I want to encourage you to go and to support this woman of God. Let me read a little bit. Let me go to the page and just read to you what's going on with her. Okay. It says, let me click on me more. It says, this is her sister Monica Haywood is the one that organized the GoFundMe page. Okay. So I'm sharing a lot of information they've written so far. It says, my sister Tina Marie, born and raised spiritually under the faith and belief of God. She is now 36 years of age. Tina's a wife, mother of two sons, Tashawn and Jameer, to a retired Army veteran who served 16 years and continues to strive for excellence. Tina has lived her years as a woman of integrity, which she has, y'all. One weekend, while intending to go to fellowship at church, Tina felt ill and decided to take herself to the hospital. Hours of tests and conversations with doctors, she found out she was expecting her third child, so she was pregnant. While there, the specialist noticed an unfamiliar, rare symptoms outside of Tina's pregnancy. It was a rare symptom, and the decision was then made to admit her to the hospital for more tests and scans. Specialist was called in to observe her symptoms daily. Tina experienced horrific pain while also progressively losing all feelings in her limb with the normal pregnancy effects. Tina was aware that she was also carrying a condition less than 4,000 individuals in the United States carries. Numerous tests and scans, observation found doctors determined this condition Tina endures is called neuromyelitis optical spectrum disorder, or NMO. This autoimmune disease has stunned her family, and the doctors, being that it came about unnoticed. Since June 21st, 2019, Tina has been in three different medical facilities undergoing treatments without returning to her home or work. Hospitalized and stressed, Tina miscarried her child. After caring for 12 weeks, she lost the child. Caring for 12 weeks. And as devastating as that was, she still endures a lot of pain and suffering. Tina is a woman of faith and integrity. She asks for all prayers and much support while she beats this condition. While she's in the hospital, the medical bills and living expenses are yet accumulated. Tina started a new job in April 2019 as a dispatcher for Hampton, Virginia Medical Center. Co-workers continue to support her as they know that she is out on medical leave. As her family supports her and her children, we are still in need of support from friends and loved ones. We are asking for financial assistance and prayers. If you're interested in any way to financially support Tina, please text Monica Haywood, that is Tina's sister, at 717-446-3790. While Tina's in recovery and believing God for totally healing, please consider being a blessing by supporting her financially. Amen. Also, if you go to, I don't have the link. Amen. But I'm trying. It's for Tina, and it's done by Monica Ibram. If you go to any of our social media site, you will see the links. But they have a link on the GoFundMe. She also gave me her Cash App, which is $TinaEbron01. $TinaEbron01. You can also do a Cash App, or you can go to the website on ChristianSpeak.com and click on the donate now. We are listed as a nonprofit organization, so everything is under a 501c3, so you can use that and write it off or whatever and stuff like that. But we wanted our donations that even since whatever everything to go to her. Amen. And we'll probably start doing this on a regular basis for particular cases that we come across, because people are hurting. Amen. So anyway, I'm done. Be blessed. Know that we love you. God bless you. Amen.